Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, Keith Law of The Athletic put out his top 100 prospects list. The Dodgers lead the way with 8 guys on the list, and we're going to talk about not like the list in depth, but some specific things that jumped out at us as we read through the Dodgers prospects on that list. And then we're going to talk a little bit about FanFest happening at Dodger Stadium next week. So that's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. My normal co-host is Vince Samperio, although it's just me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And speaking of getting started, let's get started. Want to thank you all for taking the time to talk Dodgers with us today. Quick little reminder, if you missed the episode from Friday that didn't launch on Friday because it got lost in the depths of internet hell, we did put that out Sunday evening, and if you listen to that one or watch it, there is a little challenge in there to let you potentially win a bobblehead from my collection. So be sure to check out that episode. If you've missed it, I've gotten some good responses to the challenge already, and so I wanted to make sure anybody who missed that episode has a chance to jump back in. With that said, let's jump into today's episode, and Keith Law of The Athletic. Keith has been on this podcast a few times in the past, and he'll actually be on again, hopefully next week. We were talking today on Monday about setting up a time. It's the busiest time of the year for him because he released his top 100 prospects list. And so hopefully next week I'll have an in-depth conversation with Keith about this prospect list. But there are a few things I want to talk about based on what he wrote. And you know, some of it, we'll ask a lot of follow-up questions next week. We'll talk about some of the stuff we don't get into today. I'll definitely have questions for him next week. But just a few things that kind of jumped out at me as I read through this. The Dodgers had 8 players on Keith's top 100 prospects list, the most of any team in baseball. I think the Orioles had 6, maybe, which was second most. And the Orioles had a little bit higher. And Gunnar Henderson was number 2, and Grayson Rodriguez was somewhere in the teens, I think. The Dodgers had Diego Cartaya, who was number 6 on Keith's list, which is very impressive. And then up next was Miguel Vargas at 23. And Vargas is the first one I want to talk about a little bit. And that's because things have changed. Last year, Keith had Vargas ranked number 62. This year, he's 23. That's a jump of 39 spots. And Keith says at the beginning of his article that this class of 100 is a little bit weaker than some. A lot of top prospects from last year graduated to the big leagues. So Keith considers this a slightly weaker field, which is part of the reason Vargas jumped. But also, I want to read you a little bit about what he had to say about Vargas's defense last year and what he has to say this year. And that's the thing, because everybody agrees that Miguel Vargas is going to hit. Last year, though, here's the whole blurb that Keith Law wrote last year about Vargas. Vargas defected from Cuba back in 2015, then signed with the Dodgers and debuted in 2018, and all he's done since then is hit. His professional line stands at 316, 384, 480, with just a 15% career strikeout rate, all of which has been consistent right up through AA. He's a very strong right-handed hitter who's still coming into some power with strength already in his hands and wrists to drive balls the other way. He's gone from and here's the part about his defense. He's gone from having no chance to stay at third base to having a very small chance to stay there. He's not very athletic or twitchy, with an above average arm, but probably lacking the quickness on his feet to play third base at an average level. He may end up at first base, although the Dodgers have tried him at second as well, and the potential hit to his value is what keeps him out of the upper tier of prospects. His offensive upside as a 300-plus hitter for average with 25 to 30 homers and 50 to 60 walks a year would make him a solid regular, even if he does have to go to first. And, of course, this list last year came out just weeks before the Dodgers signed Freddie Freeman, which made first base not an option. But even with that, I want to read you what Keith wrote about Vargas on Monday. Vargas was arguably the best hitter in the PCL last year and certainly the best one under the age of 26, hitting 304, 404, 511 with just a 14.6% strikeout rate for Oklahoma City while playing four different positions, putting him in line to be the Dodgers' second baseman this year if Gavin Lux slides over to short. Vargas has always been able to hit, but his body has improved substantially since he first broke out in 2019 when scouts wondered whether he'd get too heavy or slow-footed for third base. Now he's a plus runner underway, and there's no doubt he could stay at third or handle second. We didn't see his best bolts in the majors, but he's topped 100 miles an hour off the bat in the minors and hits a ton of line drives with a swing that might make him more of a 40 doubles, 20 homers guy than a 30 homer guy. Although either way, he's likely to post on base percentages in the upper 300s. I think he'll be the former, a high OBP hitter who smashes a ton of doubles, maybe getting to 50 or so in his peak years with solid average defense at second or third, but maybe has years where he hits only 15 to 18 homers and is quietly excellent instead. That difference in the defense, when last year Keith Law said he's gone from no chance to stay at third to a very small chance to stay there, but he's probably a first baseman, to now he's a plus runner and there's no doubt he could stay at third or handle second. It's a huge, huge change in that analysis, that of Miguel Vargas, that he has turned himself into a guy who Keith Law believes can be a solid average defender at a couple different positions. And that's kind of what we've seen. We talked yesterday, Andrew Friedman said that Vargas is likely to be the opening day second baseman. And that makes sense. If he's turned himself into, or used it and can't turn yourself into a better athlete, can you? I don't know. That might be a semantic question more than anything else. But he has used his athleticism to turn himself into a better ball player. And a better defender. And it's due to a lot of hard work he's put in, obviously. Yeah, those things don't happen by accident. But it's very, very impressive and really exciting to me. I'm a fan of Vargas. I'm excited to see Vargas anyway. But to see that at least one expert evaluator says, yeah, he's turned himself into a solid defender, that's a big deal. That's what I want to talk about with Vargas. Let's see, moving on to the next thing I wanted to talk about was Bobby Miller. And Bobby Miller shows up at number 28. And the first sentence is awesome. For peer stuff, Miller has few peers, if any, among minor league starter prospects. Bobby Miller has the best stuff in the minors. Stuff isn't everything, though. And one of the interesting things that I hadn't seen put exactly this way before, farther down, Keith says, the one flaw in Miller's game is that he's worse with runners on base in results, but also in stuff, losing about half a mile an hour on each of his pitches and missing fewer bats when he's working from the stretch. With the bases empty, hitters hit 188, 263, 259 off Miller, but with men on base, they hit 278, 335, 451, including 8 of the 12 homers Miller allowed on the season. It's enough that Miller's going to have to make an adjustment at some point to reach a ceiling. It's number one starter stuff with close to average command. If he can hold it better when he works from the stretch, he'll be a top 10 pitcher in baseball. And that kind of excites me that it's something specific, because when the Dodgers have something specific to work on, they get it figured out. And I mean, Keith Law is saying if Bobby Miller figures out this one last thing, he'll be a top 10 pitcher in baseball. Obviously, Keith Law, what he says isn't gospel, doesn't mean it's for sure true, but it's pretty exciting to think about. And, you know, a guy with his stuff, it's why so many people are so excited about Bobby Miller, including us. And interesting to identify that one thing. I'd be interested to talk to people in the Dodgers organization and see, have they identified that same flaw, or do they see it as something different and that's a symptom? I don't know, but I'm excited to talk about Keith more about that next week too. I'm going to come back in a minute, talk about a few more things that jumped out. on me to me on this list. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. So download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. There's all sorts of fun ways to bet on the Super Bowl, and who scores a touchdown is always a fun one, especially in the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to score in the Super Bowl, and it's going to be exciting. You can bet on how many touchdowns Jalen Hurts will throw for. Obviously, you can just bet on who's going to win if that's your line, but there's so much more you can look at FanDuel, different ways to bet on the game and keep the excitement there for you. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. When you're done here for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. I've been talking about Keith Law's top 100 list. There's eight Dodgers on the list, as I mentioned. I'm not going into a ton of detail on each one just because I am going to be talking to Keith next week, hopefully, about this list. We'll have plenty of questions, but just talking about a few things that jumped out at me from this list. The next one that I want to talk about is number 39, Gavin Stone. It's interesting that Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone are both in the top 40. Ryan Pepiot did not make Keith's list. I think he's the first one of these lists this year to leave Pepiot all the way off. I don't know if you remember last year when I talked to Keith, he was already cooler on Pepiot than a lot of people were. Basically, he wasn't sure that Pepiot would have the command to be a big league pitcher. And unfortunately, that's a little bit of what we saw in Pepiot's debut. I'm not giving up on him. I don't think anybody is, but he's definitely going to have to figure out that command. And for Keith Law, anyway, that was enough to drop Pepiot out of the top 100 list. But Gavin Stone is there. And like everybody else, Keith Law is excited about Gavin Stone. I'm going to read you this whole blurb. Stone was the Dodgers' fifth-round pick in 2020, a money saver out of Central Arkansas who had only just become a full-time starter for the Bears that spring. His bonus of $97,500 was the fourth lowest in the entire fifth round and one of the dozen lowest in the whole draft. He's since emerged as the Dodgers' second-best pitching prospect and isn't that far behind their top guy, Bobby Miller, who was their first-rounder in the same year. Stone is a very athletic right-hander who works at 94 to 96 miles an hour with a plus-plus changeup that hitters can't touch. The whiff rate on the pitch was over 50% last year, and it's effective against left and right-handed hitters, a major reason why he had as close to zero platoon split. His slider is solid average, mid-80s with short downward break, good enough to get right-handers to swing and miss, but not a pitch he'll use much against lefties. Stone pitched at three levels last year, from high A to triple A, and his highest ERA at any of those stops was 160. He finished the year with 168 strikeouts in 121 and two-thirds innings, 33.8% of batters faced, and a hilarious 1.48 ERA. His command and control are the only things keeping him from a major league rotation right now, as they're no better than grade 45, but he's also not that far away, and he repeats his delivery well enough that I expect him to get to average or better soon and end up at least a number three starter. So Law's saying the only reason Stone isn't in the big leagues right now is because of his command. 45 is slightly below average, and so he just needs to figure out that command. But he also says that he expects him to do that because he repeats his delivery well, and that's usually the main factor in command is repeating your delivery, because then once you get something figured out, it's figured out. And when he does that, he says at least a number three starter. Number three starter doesn't sound exciting sometimes, but when you think about a prospect and saying to say this guy is going to be at least a number three starter. That means he could be a number two starter or a number one starter. But number three starter is very valuable. You look this year, like as far as talent or skill or performance or whatever we're expecting this year, the Dodgers' number three starter is probably going to be like Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May, you know, or Clayton Kershaw. One of those three guys will be the Dodgers' number three starter. And so that's kind of what we're looking at as potential for Gavin Stone in the future. That's pretty awesome. And the fact, again, one of the things I like about Keith's prospect list is he identifies specific things, you know, and the command is one thing. With Miller, it was the command with runners on base. With Stone, it's just overall command. But getting him up to even average in command would make him a very good pitcher because he has very good stuff. Dalton Rushing was number 62 on Keith's list. Obviously not ranked last year because he hadn't been drafted yet. He was still in college last year. He talks a little bit about whether he's going to stick around at catcher or not. It says he slid to the second round because he didn't hit well against good velocity, showing just fair bat speed, and he was only a part-time catcher in the spring who threw out 15% of runners. He's an adequate receiver now, and he has a solid average arm, so it's possible any deficiencies on defense are a function of his inexperience, not inability. It looks like he can really hit, with pro scouts impressed by what they've seen from him so far. If he stays behind the plate, maybe the poor Dodgers finally caught a break with a prospect. That's sarcasm at the end, because the Dodgers keep, quote unquote, catching breaks with prospects because they are really, really good at what they do. And I like Keith's point that Dalton Rushing as a catcher does, there are some concerns. I've seen him play live and I thought, oh, not sure how much of a catcher he looks like, but he sure can hit. And that's kind of been the consensus with a lot of people. But the fact is, he was backing up Henry Davis at Louisville, who was one of the, you know, top prospects and was the number one pick in the draft. And so Rushing only has 1 year of college catching under his belt. And before that, it was high school. And so he does still have some development to do as a catcher. As a hitter, though, last year in the minor leagues after being drafted, he hit .424 with a .539 on base percentage and a .778 slugging percentage. All those numbers are just bonkers. And so obviously he's not going to bat .424 every year, but it shows that he can hit. And if the Dodgers development system can get him up to being even average at catcher, catchers are so valuable, and Rushing, you know, they'll end up with a good problem on their hands. They have Will Smith now. They have Diego Cartaya coming up soon, and Dalton Rushing not far behind, and maybe not at all behind Cartaya. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the Dodgers have to do. They, you know, obviously they traded Gabriel Ruiz a couple of years ago because they didn't have room for him at catcher. And that may be in the future for one of these guys, or they may find room for all of them. They do have the DH, you know, they could move guys to different positions, whatever. But catchers who can hit are super valuable, and the Dodgers have two of them in the top 100 prospects list, which is pretty fun, I think. Those poor Dodgers. Andy Páez is another interesting one for me with Law, because I think I talked about on here a couple weeks ago, some of the other prospect lists are really concerned about Páez's defense. I think it was Baseball Prospectus that said that Páez might be a DH in the future. He's gone from playing a passable center field to not even being able to play a passable right field. Keith sees things differently, and I'm interested to talk to him about this next week. I'm going to read you his blurb on Andy Páez. Páez moved up to AA last year and took a modest step backward at the plate, although the power still showed up and he hammered left-handed pitching. Páez has plus-plus power and a cannon of an arm and has generally shown a solid approach at the plate, both in ball strike recognition and swing decisions. In AA, he really struggled when right-handers threw him off-speed stuff out of the zone. They'd get ahead with the fastball and expand the zone with the slider, leading him to chase and either miss or make weaker contact. He can catch up to good velocity and even at age 21 is making major league quality contact when he squares one up. And then here's the part about his defense. He's a fringe average runner who can play at least solid defense and right, boosted by the arm strength, and could be a soft regular even with his power and good walk rates. There's significant upside here if he tightens up that approach, though, and can be more of a 260, 270 hitter with 30 homers and similar walk rates. Keith isn't as concerned about his defense. Obviously, right field isn't a need for the Dodgers right now or for the next 10 years. But if he could play right, maybe he could play left. You know, there's different options available. And at least it gives me a little hope that he's not destined to be a DH like some of the other prospect lists think he might be. And I don't know who's right. And I don't know if anybody's right or if it's just people looking at things slightly different. And the last one I want to talk about, and then I'll be done with this part of the episode for today, is James Outman. James Outman comes in at number 89 on Keith's list. And I think Keith is the first one of these prospect hounds to put Outman in a top 100 at all. So I want to read this, what he said. Outman has made some real swing changes since the Dodgers took him off an unremarkable couple of years at Sacramento State. And he's performed better and better, even as they've moved him up aggressively due to his age. He's one of the best athletes in their entire system who might have four pluses on the scouting report. Definitely a plus run, plus arm, plus power guy who might be a plus defender in center as well. There's too much swing and miss in the zone here to say he'll be more than an average hitter, but with his other tools, that makes him a potential star, even if he can do, especially if he can do more against lefties than just hit for power. He's older than any hitter on this list, but doesn't have as much baseball experience as the typical 25-year-old. Don't be surprised if he ends up the Dodgers' primary center fielder this year. And yeah, I mean, when you talk about the five tools, and Law is saying four of them are plus, meaning well above average. And running, arm, power, and possibly defense as well. The only thing is his hit tool. Can he put the bat on the ball consistently? Because he does strike out a lot. That's going to be a huge thing to watch. But he's done enough. And Keith and I talked about Outman last year, about the jumps that he had made and gone from being organizational depth to being a legitimate prospect. And now he's a legitimate top 100 prospect. So pretty exciting for James Outman, pretty exciting for us. And we will probably get to see Outman quite a bit this year. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about FanFest at Dodger Stadium that's coming up next week. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Are you looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories? Then you've got to try a Built Bar. I've talked a lot about Built Bar many times on this podcast. You guys know how much I love it. It's a wonderful thing. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's healthy. They also have Built Puffs that taste like chocolate-covered marshmallows, but they're also somehow healthy for you. They're all low-calorie, low-fat, low-sugar, high-protein, really, really good. Healthy is actually tasty, and I don't understand how they do it. It's probably magic. Maybe it's science. Maybe it's a combination of the two. Magic science, we'll call it. Either way, you don't have to order anymore if you don't want to. You can go down to Walmart because Walmarts across the country now have Built Bar in stock. Sam's Club also does. So you can go buy an individual bar. You can buy a box, whatever you want. They're all about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. You can, of course, also order them on built.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off. But just run down to Walmart or Sam's Club, grab yourself a box right now, and you can thank me later. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. If you are watching this on YouTube, I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments section down below. If you're listening on the podcast, feel free to hit us up on social media or email or whatever. I'd love to hear your thoughts on any of this. If you have thoughts on Keith Law's top 100 list, which you can read at theathletic.com. Anything you have questions that you want me to bring up with Keith when I talk to him next week, hit me up, let me know. So I'm already making a list of things I want to talk about, but if there's specific things you guys want me to talk about, let me know. And with that said, FanFest is coming up at Dodger Stadium on Saturday, February 4th, the end of this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. The event is free. Parking is even free. The event takes place on the field, out in the center field plaza, and in the parking lot. And parking is free. The event is free. There are things you can pay for, but just getting in is free. And you can go, if nothing else, it's a free way to go and walk around the grass at Dodger Stadium. It's a cool thing just being on the field at Dodger Stadium if you're missing the Dodgers, want your fix, and you live near Dodger Stadium, go check it out. The first time I went, actually the only time I've ever gone, we did buy one autograph session, but for the most part, just me and my son just wandering Dodger Stadium. Like, this is cool. This is, you know, it's our favorite place. And so if you're like me and Dodger Stadium is your favorite place, it's a free way to go check that out. There's also things you can buy. A lot of the stuff is sold out. The autographs for $30 each, you can get an autograph there. There's different times and lines and everything. And a lot of them are sold out. Bruce Dark Gratterall, Chris Taylor, Miguel Vargas, Gavin Lux are sold out. Austin Barnes, Diego Cartaya, Max Muncy, Alex Vesia, Michael Bush and James Outman and Noah Syndergaard. Those guys are all sold out, but there's still a few left. Shelby Miller, Miguel Rojas, Evan Phillips, Andre Jackson, Justin Brule, Ryan Pepio, Michael Grove. Those are all available still for autographs for $30 each. So you can check that out at Dodgers.com. If you just Google Dodgers Fan Fest, it brings up the information. There's also a selfie station for $25. You can take a selfie with the player. Gavin Lux and Miguel Vargas are sold out, but Gratterall, Vesia, and Syndergaard are all still available. For $150, you can have lunch with Steve Garvey. A group of people get to sit, and Steve Garvey will talk with you, share memories. It's a fun time having lunch with a legend. There's a botanic garden tour for $45. They'll take you around Dodger Stadium and show you different plants, apparently. I hadn't seen that before. There was an all-access pass for $2,000. That's sold out. The Vin Scully Press Box Experience has all sold out. The meet and greets have sold out. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Julio Urias, and Fernando Valenzuela, but those all sold out at $250 each. And the clubhouse tour and locker photo has sold out, which would have been fun. Run of the bases is sold out. So a lot of stuff is sold out. There's still a few things that you can pay for. But like I said, it's a really cool, fun time to just go hang out at Dodger Stadium and feel, start to get excited for the season. The one time I went was 2015. Getting the autograph was fun. I think I mentioned this the other day that in 2014, we had taken a picture of my son with Kenley Jansen. And then 2015, we printed that up and took it and had Kenley autograph it. And now it's hanging on my son's wall. Also got Ron Say's autograph at that one. But most of the time we were there, we were just checking out. They have stuff going on. They have a stage out there on the field where they do player interviews and stuff. Brandon McCarthy had just signed with the Dodgers and they did an interview with him and got to know him a little bit. Vin Scully talked for a little while. Unfortunately, obviously that won't be happening this year. But there's still a lot of cool stuff that goes on and you're hanging out with other Dodger fans. It doesn't cost you anything. I would highly recommend it if you're in the area. I wish that I could get down there. This is unfortunately not a good weekend for me to get down. My son is, it's the end of wrestling season and the start of baseball season. And so he actually has a wrestling tournament and a baseball tournament this week, a wrestling tournament in Utah on Friday and Saturday and a baseball tournament in Las Vegas on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to make that work so far. A lot of it depends on how well he does in the wrestling tournament, how much of the baseball tournament we will get down to. But definitely don't have time for Fan Fest, but hopefully you do. I know a lot of our listeners, probably most of our listeners, are in Southern California. And get out there to Dodger Stadium and enjoy time. You know, say hi to Dodger Stadium for me. I miss that place. I'm excited to get back there. And I wish I could be there at Fan Fest. So I hope that some of you will be able to check it out. If you're going, you know, I'd love to know what you're looking forward to. And after you do go, I'd love to hear what your thoughts were. What were the cool experiences? You know, what was worth the money? What wasn't? All that stuff. It's the first time Dodgers are doing FanFest since 2020. And even 2020 was weird because COVID was already a thing. The pandemic hadn't shut the world down yet, but it had already changed things. So they just did FanFest in the parking lot with social distancing and stuff. It was a little bit different. And so this year, it's the first time since 2019 that they're doing a full FanFest. And so check it out. Let me know how you liked it. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. That's going to do it for me today, I believe. I want to remind you again, the lost episode from Friday that we dropped on Sunday does have details on a bobblehead giveaway. So be sure to check out that episode and follow the instructions in there. And with that said, thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Now that you're done here for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning, we would love if you had 1 or 2 days a month of your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, please tell them about the show. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.